KJ, it's time for That's Tough or That's Enough, where we talk about some things and decide whether it's tough or we've had enough of it. Let's start off with the big elephant in the room, Kirby Smart, head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. Don't know if he's calling a timeout or not yet, but we're still waiting. KJ, do you think Kirby Smart's tough, or have you had enough of him?
I'm going to ask a question here, Alex. I'm going to just open with a question. Why would a college football coach run, not jog, not walk, but sprint to an official making a hand gesture if you were just clapping? Why would I, when my team's on the field in the middle of a very important down, why would I run up to a ref and clap? I'll wait for an answer. If Georgia fans have an answer, if anyone has an answer, I'll be here till the cows come home or the fat lady sings, take your pick. Kirby was not calling a timeout. And I'll just to then lie, double down and lie about it. It was just kind of weird to me. Like, if I'm a player, like, yeah, I'm glad that we didn't get penalized, but man, they gave us our timeout back. And this guy's up here lying about it. I mean, I don't know. That was really tough as a spectator for the game too, not just an Auburn fan, but of course I'm really fired up in the moment. Not just that, but Kirby just, he makes these little snide remarks here and there through the years, and I know you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Being a Bama fan, I've heard him.
There's just that thing about him, you know, like you hear the saying, irks the nerves like fingernails on the chalkboard. When I see Kirby, when I hear Kirby talk, and then when I watch him call a timeout to say that he was clapping, it's really hard for me to not get really, really upset. And I sent you that gif of him earlier today. I probably made you laugh. I think for that one, based off of his logic from last Saturday, the trending gif of him running to the ref, I wonder if he was just running to tell the ref something, not to be upset at the ref in that gif. I don't know. Judging off that gif, judging off last weekend, I've had enough of Kirby. I think he's just too much. He does too much. That's what I'm going with. That's the nice way of saying it. He does too much for me. I've had enough, and that's it. I think Auburn should have definitely won the game, and I think Kirby wanted any advantage he could have. How, as a football fan, Alex, else are we supposed to sit there and watch what happened other than to say he just wanted a free timeout?
He got a lot of them in that Auburn game.
Oh yeah.
Not just because it was him, but because the officials had to go to the replay booth every play. We go to the replay booth to review a catch, and somehow Kay and Lee gets ejected for targeting. I don't know how we go to the replay for one thing and end up with another thing. I would just like some clarity on that from the SEC officials.
And the flag was never thrown before that for targeting.
And I can sit here and spend 30, 40 minutes talking about targeting and how it's one of the worst penalties in sports.
Amen.
I agree that it needs to be called because we're protecting players, but I disagree with how it's called. It's so
inconsistent
and so opinionated. One thing's targeting in one game, and the next game it's not targeting in the other game. I look at the Auburn game where it was in the third quarter, your dad was showing me earlier this week, where the receiver is going down with the football, and Georgia's player comes in leading with his helmet, leaves his feet, and goes into the neck of the Auburn player. Wasn't called.
And by definition, that's all four quotas for targeting in one play.
Yes.
There you have it.
And then against Missouri, Jam Miller, the safety comes in, leads with his helmet. It looks like, to me at least, now people are saying he led with his shoulder, but to me it looked like he was leading with his helmet and hits Jam Miller in the helmet. And he's out with a concussion and maybe out this weekend. And then I have the previous week against Vanderbilt, the week before Vanderbilt's game, where James Smith is ejected for targeting on a play that's made almost every down where he's coming to just tackle a player. He's ejected for targeting and misses the first half of the Vanderbilt game. It's so opinionated when it's called. And Kirby Smart feels like he gets the benefit of the doubt, not only on targeting plays, but just like every game. It's almost like the Nick Saban treatment. Being a Bama fan, I know what that's kind of like.
what did it for me over the top was that the refs gave him back the timeout.
That's not a Kirby Smart thing when it comes to giving him back the timeout. That's the official's mistake.
I know. That's what really blew my mind is that not only did he get away with it, but we're giving him the timeout back. I mean, this is why Kirby is doing these things, because he knows you're going to adhere to him. It's just hard for me to watch what happened and not think that certain coaches don't spend a little more to pick officials, if you know what I'm getting at.
And we haven't got any clarity from the SEC officiating office of that game, really. There has been an explanation, an apology, anything to any sort of fan base or team or nothing. It's been silent. And I want you to think about if the tables were turned, if Hugh Freeze had made a mistake and called out the referees, or Kirby Smart had called out the referees, he'd be fined. He'd be in deep trouble with the SEC officials' office, and he'd had to apologize and explain himself. But the SEC officials can make mistakes left and right, cost teams football games, even though I disagree a little bit on that regard, but they still cost points and downs and distances and not have to be held accountable. I hate it. As officials in college football, not only in the SEC, there's no accountability. I think the ACC has done the best job with this when it comes to you watch a football game, even though it's on the CW, you can hear the officials talking to the guys in the replay booth about what's being called. You can hear, oh yeah, I see this there, this is why I'm making that call. The SEC, you have no clue. It's just, well, we reviewed the play, Kane Lee's ejected for targeting. Where was the targeting? You didn't even go to review for it. Can we get an explanation? No. We're just going to the next play. That's the biggest gripe I have with SEC officiating and officiating as a whole in college football is a lack of clarity on things and a lack of accountability for the people that make the calls.
Yeah, no question.
I know I got a little bit of a tangent there with, and it was a little bit of focus on Kirby Smart, and I think he's tough, but I've had enough of some of the antics he's been doing.
Yeah, and what you allow will continue. So when the refs are doing things like that, you can expect coaches to push the limits and push the boundaries. No doubt about that. Going on to our next tougher enough point, and Alex, I really spent some time on this one thinking about what I read, and it's something to think about. Want you to consider this. Baker Mayfield, quarterback for the Buccaneers, 5-1. His former team, the Browns, 1-5. Daniel Jones, former quarterback for the New York Giants, his 5-1. His former team, the Giants and the Big Apple, 2-4. Sam Darnold, 4-2. The Jets are currently 0-6. Alex, I'll let you start with this one. Do NFL teams give up on quarterbacks too soon sometimes? Have you seen enough of this, or is it still tough to bring a guy on slowly and then just blame him when things go bad?
I've had enough of teams giving up on quarterbacks and blaming them after even one season. I look at Josh Rosen in Arizona, where he's drafted in the first round 1 year, and he has a pretty poor year his rookie season, and they draft Kyler Murray first overall the next year, and Josh Rosen's out of the league in, what was it, maybe 2 years? You ruined his career. Now, he didn't help himself with some of the posts he made on social media and comments he made. But teams give up on players way too soon because they see the next shiny object, and they're like, oh, that's my guy. Got to go get him. Baker Mayfield, the Browns have been a dumpster fire for decades. Being able to leave that team has helped them out a lot. Baker Mayfield was able to leave the Browns and become a better player because it was such a toxic environment to play in. He had no help on that team. And going to play for Sean McVay when he did in those last few games of the season, I think gave Baker Mayfield a lot more confidence when he went to Tampa Bay to lead that team. And he realizes Tampa Bay is his team. And he has weapons around him. And I get it. Some of the players are injured. Chris Godwin has his injuries. Mike Evans has had some injuries. And Emeka Ibuka is down with an injury right now. His offensive line has been shuffled left and right. But he has a play caller that trusts him. He has a defense that he can trust to lean on. And he's able to win football games. And Baker Mayfield, the biggest thing with the Browns was confidence. And being able to get that back was huge for him. Daniel Jones, the same thing. New York Giants, you didn't ever give him help. The receiving has been poor there for years. You only just recently got Malik Nabers. You let Saquon Barkley walk for nothing. You don't invest in that. Your defense has been up and down all season long, and when Daniel Jones was there. It's a story if you don't give him any help and you want to blame him for your ineptitudes as a front office. Sam Darnold, the Jets. Every year it feels like they're hiring a new head coach. And that stability at the head coach position helps out quarterbacks and offense coordinator as well. It comes down to the fact where front offices continue to blame the quarterbacks for their ineptitudes when it comes to drafting players to help the quarterbacks they originally drafted. Baker Mayfield didn't get it. Daniel Jones didn't get it. Sam Darnold didn't get it when he was at the Jets. And even when Sam Darnold was at the Panthers, the same with Baker Mayfield, no help for them. You trade away DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey, and they get no help.
Yeah, you brought up the Panthers and Bryce Young dealing with that still, with this poverty franchise. That is a popular thing to call it, the Browns. These are franchises, when we say that, that will look at something and say, oh, well, you got a year. And attach money to it. That year isn't good. You ship them. And then whenever you're in the negative in cap room and you're wondering why you can't go get big free agents, well, you didn't draft well, or you drafted well and let a good player walk. When you're doing those two things, you're not going to win as a small market team. I've said this before, all sports, you cannot rely on big name, big splash free agency. You got to win that draft. You got to go find your guys that fit your scheme. You got to develop them. Development is still important, even in an NFL offense. I mean, look at how the Patriots sustained their dynasty. We talked about route running earlier. The Patriots were notorious for drafting receivers who may not be the biggest, may not be the most athletic, but they're going to get open. And they had a guy that got the football to them, and they developed offensive linemen, had five Pro Bowl offensive linemen in Tom Brady's career and several more that were on that level. I mean, they developed offensive linemen. That's how you win games. You find your guys and you develop them. You don't give up on them when they ask for a little more money than you're willing to pay, or the team's not doing good. Draft better, GMs. Jerry Jones.
And there's plenty of examples of quarterbacks struggling earlier in their career. Troy Aikman started out 0-11 as a rookie. Peyton Manning, the 28 interceptions as a rookie. Josh Allen was very inconsistent his rookie year and really his sophomore year. But they were able to grow. The coaches brought them help. Even not with players, but with personnel, coaching staff-wise.
The Ravens is a dump right now, but yeah. You could even say Lamar Jackson. His downfield passing was terrible.
And they brought in Todd Monken, and he got way better. It seems like to me a lot of these front offices want to blame the players when maybe it comes down to coaching. And I think fans and front offices need to realize, is it easier to replace a head coach that maybe not as good, or is it easy to replace the quarterback or the defensive player you spent a first-round pick on? What's easier to swallow? And I think it's easier to swallow when you fire a head coach when you realize – so many examples of you get rid of Sam Darnold and you get rid of Baker Mayfield, and the head coach that had them, you figure out wasn't good as a head coach, and you realize, wow, I made the mistake there. I picked the wrong person to get rid of. So that's something people need to look out for, is was it really the quarterback's fault or was it the coaching's fault? And the examples we've gone over, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, and Sam Darnold, really think it was a coaching fault.